See, in my, yeah, in my own head, I sound like Charlton Heston or Charlton Heston, but when I hear myself on recording, I think, man, that guy, he needs to lower his voice a little bit. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we are going to be looking at verses 4 through 8. This time I'm not going to chase the wascally wabbits that I was chasing last time we were here. So, because I want to get through some important parts of this message to show how that the elect receive the word of God in a much different way than the religious crowd or the church crowd or the world does. And so when it says we receive the things of God, we receive the word, like it says in verse 5, and so forth, and we want to see that what way do we receive it that the world doesn't. And so, verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Nothing could make it more plain or more clear than these words that Paul was absolutely 100% convinced that these Thessalonians in the church that he was writing to here knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they were showing the fruits, that they were truly the bona fide, genuine, true blue, born again, blood washed Christians that were indwelled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit. And look at that once again in verse 4. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Notice they didn't elect God. God elected them, your election by God. We don't choose God unless he first chooses us. We choose our sin. We choose to go our own way. Unless God changes our heart would never want to turn to God. Our heart would want to turn to our sins. It would want to turn to ourselves. It would want to turn to our ambition, our greeds, our lusts, our desires for popularity or for affection or for some kind of excitement. You know, we live in a culture now that a lot of people seem to be more daredevilish now than ever. The parkour of jumping from one building to another building, the kite type of stuff where you jump off the side of a building and you have this little kite hooked up to you and you learn how to steer that. Even downtown cities, they do stuff like that. They're looking for the biggest waves. They're looking for the craziest jumps. They're looking for this thrill. They're climbing up the side of a mountain barely with any equipment except a rope and some other type of gadgets. It was so easy to fall off for them to lose their lives. So we're all chasing after something, some kind of thrill, some kind of thing that we think will make us happy. But the Thessalonians here, they were elect by God. They were chasing the purpose of God, the glory of God. They were wanting not to thrill themselves, but to thrill the Lord Jesus with their love. They didn't come to church to be seen by others. They came to church to see God, to learn about God, to understand more of his word. They didn't come on a parade saying, "Woo, look at me, I'm such a spiritual relic." No, they came to church as though it were a spiritual hospital, with the wounds that they had of hearing God's name blasphemed all week, having to take the slander, the ridicule, the persecution for being Christians all week. And they came to encourage one another and to be encouraged with one another. They came for fellowship. Can you imagine what a service would have been like for them? I mean, if the preacher had preached less than an hour and a half, they would have said, "Buster, we waited all week to hear the word of God. We desire that you just cut it straight and narrow, that you tell us the truth, that you preach the word, and that you just keep preaching and preaching. We didn't walk all this way from clear across town just to hear a 20-minute sermonette for somebody to kind of go out with their cigarettes and be a Christianette. We want to hear that, so they would come and sing to their heart's content. They would pray to their heart's content. They would hear the word of God, and they would give their offerings and so on. And Paul said, you know, you folks are behaving in such a way that I know that you're beloved of God, that you're my brethren, that you're part of the family of God. I know your election by God. Verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us, or imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Notice how much affliction and joy of the Holy Spirit are in the same sentence. Verse 7, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia. That's basically the Greek landmass. You became example to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. It's an amazing church. I'm surprised I haven't heard more messages over the years from Thessalonians. But what a precious group of believers. And we get to meet them one day. You'll get to meet these folks that Paul was talking about here. And you'll know who they were, because the Bible says, then shall we know even as we are also known. And we'll just know each other. It'll be heart to heart. And no misunderstanding. It's soul communication. We'll know Adam and Eve when we see him. We'll know Samson when we see him. We'll know Enoch when we see him. We'll just know. And nobody there is going to be able to say, oh, stand back. I'm holier than you. I'm Enoch. No, Enoch by faith walked with God. It was by God's grace. And all of us who go to heaven by the gift of faith that God gives us. And God is gracious to all of us. Paul, in that day, it's not going to say, look at me, I'm just a wonderful example of a Christian in heaven. Paul's going to say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'm saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was chief. And I'm here by the grace of God. And no one will be able to lord over anything over anyone, except our Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect in every way. And he is just going to love us to pieces. And so the elect receive the things of God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you said you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. So the elect receive the things of God, even if it means much affliction, even if it means being called old fuddy-duddies or Bible thumpers or Jesus freaks. I remember when I worked in the world before I went off, was off at college, they would call me Jesus boy. They thought they were putting me down. But they were making me so proud that they could tell there was something different about me and that I was Jesus' boy. Say, oh, Jesus boy, and laugh about it. I'm saying, you know, thank you so much. In my mind, I'm saying, thank you so much for calling me Jesus boy. I love that title. I'll wear that title. We had a baker in our church in Oregon. They used to call him the mill missionary. He was one of the foremen for Oral Wheat Bakery up there in Oregon. And they would always call, here comes the mill missionary. Here comes the preacher. And do you think that they were bothering him by that? He wore that title proudly. And, you know, there have been some things that people called me over the years I wasn't too proud of. But some of the things like Jesus boy or preacher man or preacher boy, or you know, those things, I'm glad they make up names like that. These people in Thessalonica were being called all kinds of names, being persecuted, suffering affliction. I imagine some of their businesses were being hurt, and they themselves were being threatened. But they received the word anyway. They received the gospel, the glad tidings of heaven. And that was their prize. That was their heavenly possession. That was their hope and their strength and their joy. And so even if receiving the truths of God bring affliction, and even though they bring persecution and they often bring loneliness, the elect receive them with the joy of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been a part of associations. I've been where I went to college, they would never have me back there to preach. I preached there when I was a junior in chapel to 2,000 students. It was like the freshman class, sophomore class, junior class, which I was a part of at the time, and the senior class. They each chose a representative out of the thousands of students to represent them in a preaching contest. And I got up there and I preached for the junior class, and I did like a funny little sermon type of thing. But the deal is that they would never have me back there to preach now. Never. Because I'm not a KJV, only pre-tribulational, easy believism, decisional regeneration. One of these, how would you say it, the Shiite parts of the Baptist movement that have their own little popes. I don't follow a Baptist pope. I don't follow a Catholic pope. I don't follow any kind of pope. Amen. So I'm not welcome in their circles anymore. I believe in the doctrines of grace. I believe that man is totally depraved. Apart from the grace of God, he can never want to be saved, much less get saved. Man is in his own carnal flesh at enmity with God. And so, I believe in the unconditional election. I believe that when God chooses to set his love upon somebody, it can't be stopped. That even though that sinner may say no at the first, God will bend that will, and he will touch that heart. And like that old preacher said, God doesn't make you go against your will, but he does make you willing to go. He's got your number. And when his Holy Spirit is on your trail, like that whale on Jonah, he's going to get you. You can, what does that song say? Nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. All that the Father gives me, Jesus said, shall come to me. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and he who comes to me shall in no wise be cast out. When you're saved by the Father, you're saved. Amen. And so that unconditional election and the what they call limited atonement, I call particular redemption. You know, Christ, the world says Christ died for everybody just the same. Well, if he did, if Jesus died for everybody just the same, then ain't nobody going to hell. Do you understand that truth? If Jesus' blood was shed for every man is going to heaven. You say, oh, but no, the man's got to cast in his vote. Man's got to say he believes. Man's got to do this. If Jesus died for their sins, even that sin of unbelief is taken care of. You understand? So we're talking about particular redemption, that Christ's sacrifice was victorious. He accomplished all that he came to accomplish in saving his own. He had his sheep that he came to die for. He had his own that, what does the Bible tell us from the very first chapter of the New Testament? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It doesn't say he'll make salvation available to all. Says he shall save his people from their sins, his elect. And then you have irresistible grace, and you have a perseverance of the saints. I call it the perseverance of Christ for his saints. How that Christ, when he saves us, we're saved once for all forever. Because we didn't earn it, we didn't do it, we can't keep it. It's something he did, and whatever God does cannot be undone. And so, these are wonderful truths. And so, I believe these things differently than where I went to Bible school. They'll never have me back there to preach. And if they made that mistake of having me go to preach at that chapel again to those thousands of students, they'll never have me back after that. Amen? Because I'm going to preach the truth while I'm there. I'm going to unload both barrels the doctrines of grace and New Covenant theology on that group. Amen. Say, why would you do that, Brother Ross? Just because I'm a preacher of the truth. You know, I don't have to have a lot of friends. You know, all these preachers are in these ministerial associations and their fellowships. This church is a Baptist Bible Fellowship church. Pastor Paul Donaldson was Baptist Bible Fellowship. That word fellowship means there's an association of these churches that agree to these certain tenets and creeds the same. When I was in Oregon, I was tempted to join ARBCA. And Brother Philip knows ARBCA is Association of Reformed Baptist Churches of America. But after I talked to their head guy, Bob Self, and I found out that they were wrong about the Sabbath, calling Sunday the Christian Sabbath, and trying to go back under the law just so they could be buddy-buddy with the Presbyterians and so on, I said, nope, not going to be in that association. I don't go to ministerial meetings. I'm not interested in men who care about what other men think about them. I don't care what they think about me. Amen. He said, oh, you didn't show up in a suit, Brother Ross. Well, you're right. Jesus didn't either. Amen. He was one of the common people. He dressed like everybody else dressed in his day. I believe his clothes were always clean except for the dust and the sweat from his continual working and walking and labors. But he wasn't wearing the fancy clothes. He wasn't wearing Hart, Schaffner, and Marks, or he didn't shop at Nordstrom. Amen. Nothing sinful in and of themselves, as it were, but you wouldn't find Jesus wearing the latest fashion thing to the ministerial association, showing off his new suit and his power tie. Got those power ties going. The elect received the things of God. They received the word, even though it brought a lot of affliction. Now, this is where we're going to go on this direction right now. What does it mean they received the word? You know, you talk to a lot of people. You knock on their doors. You talk to people that, oh, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm not as bad as my neighbor or that guy I hate at work, but, yeah, I'm a sinner. Not as bad as other sinners. I mean, I haven't murdered anybody. So, what do we mean by receiving all that the gospel teaches? You know, sinners will say, yeah, I received that. Yeah, the Bible is God's word. You know, a lot of it is. They pick and choose. They say, some of it isn't, though. You know, some of it isn't. They'll tell you that. The elect gladly receive all that the gospel teaches, all that Jesus taught us, all that the Bible shows us. And so this is where we differ from even the religious crowd. This is where the elect differ from the religious crowd. We stand by the truth that without Christ, we are lost and dying sinners. We are sinners in thoughts. We are sinners in our words. We are sinners in our acts. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead and dying sinners. And in all this, there's nothing good that dwells in our flesh. We are totally depraved from before we're born, from the moment of our conception to the day we die. We are sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. We're forgiven sinners. We're elect sinners. But we're sinners. And so for any of us to, any Christian to look around and say, hey, I'm more faithful than you, or I understand the Bible more than you, or I pray more than you. This is but by the grace of God. Who are you, the new Pharisee? Are you the neo-Pharisee movement? You know, I bless God that He's taught me His Word. I bless God that He's kept my heart and my mind open over the years to receive His Word, that He's changed my heart, that He's changed my mind. I used to be pre-tribulation, rapture, KJV 11 only, a fundamentalist, You know, I believe that if a man's hair even touched his ears, he was a hippie, he was a modernist. I used to call John MacArthur a liberal, and then all the people that followed him were a bunch of modernists on their way to hell. That was way back when. 1981. Now I love John MacArthur. I used to call Calvinists, I used to think that they were just the wickedest, most evil people in the world. But now I are one. Because by the grace of God, he opened my eyes and changed my mind. But the world, they'll say, well, we're sinners, but we're not that bad. The Bible says, no, you are dead in trespasses and sins. While you are lost, you are under the power of the wicked one, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now dwells in all the children of disobedience, and you yourself are at enmity with God. Not only an enemy, but you are the enemy ship, the very heart of enemy ship towards God. And so they won't receive that. We receive it. We have rebelled against the holy and living God by wicked sins. And we deserve to be punished in hell, but the world doesn't want to receive that. A lot of religious groups don't want to receive that. Oh yes, we deserve to die and be punished in hell. Believe me, there's nobody in hell right now that says, I don't deserve to be here. They have met the judge. They have stood before the judge of heaven and earth, and they knew in his presence that they were guilty. And with that, they themselves had chosen hell for themselves and that they deserve to be there. We declare that we receive where God's word shows us that we could never be, or we could never do enough good. So as we could deserve the least of God's mercies, we know how wretched we are. We believe that the Bible teaches us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned. And it says the poison of asps, of vipers, of like cobras is under their tongue. That we choose every way but the right way. And if we choose the right way, it's because of God's grace. We could never be good enough. We could never do good enough. We could never deserve the least of God's favors because all our righteousness is as vile, filthy rags before God. We contend and we receive from the word that God alone saves and forgives sinners. That sinners don't save sinners. Sinners don't save themselves by walking an aisle and saying a prayer. But that God's Holy Spirit works on their heart and makes Jesus real to them. And that they believe by God's grace through faith that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, that no one comes to the Father but through Him. They believe that. And it's a supernatural occurrence. It's a supernatural event. When you're brought to believe something that normally would be so unbelievable. God's Son is virgin born, lived a sinless life in every thought, every word, every deed, every moment of his existence. He kept the first and greatest commandment and the second and all fulfilled all the law. The first and greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. And Jesus continually every moment loved his Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. To the nth degree of his person and being, his talent, his creativity, his waking moments and his sleeping moments, he loved the Father. Was continually communicating with him, was constantly in prayer. And we believe that this one, this perfect virgin born Son of God, is God himself who came to save sinners like me. That he died in my place and took my sins. That's hard to believe for some people, right? We believe it. Thank God that God convinced us that it's the truth so we could be forgiven. And that he literally, bodily rose again from the dead the third day. We believe that. We receive the word. We receive the gospel. We receive the glad news. And we are willing to contend with the religious crowd and to do the battle with them and say, no, people aren't saved by taking the Lord's Supper. People aren't saved by being baptized like the Campbellites Church teach. People aren't saved by speaking in tongues like a lot of the charismatics in the Assembly of God. People say that, well, the only proof that you're really saved is if you speak in tongues, and that's the proof that you got the Holy Spirit. Balderdash. Whatever that means. Malarkey. I guess that's a good Irish word for it, right? We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so that God alone saves and forgives sinners, not ourselves. That I met a girl one day back when I was just a baby Christian and talking about the Lord in a little thrift stop, and she didn't believe that once you were saved, you're always saved. That once God saves you, it was His work. He saves you completely forever. Once you're His child, He'll never turn His back on you. Once you're His child, He loves you forever. Once you're born again, you can't be unborn. You're His child. And He'll never give up on His child. And she said to me as I was leaving, she said, stay saved. Well, I didn't save myself. I sure as goodness can't keep myself saved. If God saved me, He's the one that keeps me. And by the way, saved means saved. It's salvation, not probation or negotiation. That when Jesus saves us, He saves us forever and keeps us safe in His love. We receive God's truth as the final authority in every area of life. And I'll say it once, I'll say it again. The Scripture says more than once, let God be true and every man a liar. People didn't like it when I would say, Dan Rather's a liar. Peter Jennings is a liar. Tom Brokaw's a liar. CNN is a lying station, and all these. But why would you call them liars? The Bible already did that. Let God be true and every man a liar. And every time they said something that was against God, that was against God's truth, that was against God's ways, like they do continually, I call them a liar. Now, maybe I shouldn't be that cantankerous, but I'm just yelling at my TV at home. Right? But anyways, the thing is, let God be true and every man a liar. The elect seek to imitate the things of God. So first of all, the elect receive the things of God. And this is another fruit of or the birthmark of being one of God's elect, is that we receive the Word of God. We receive the things of God. Unlike the religious crowd, if part of our churches really began preaching Christ as He's revealed in the Word, they might lose a lot of their people that they got in these mega churches. And they're afraid of that because they don't want to hurt their offerings. They don't want to hurt their projects and their programs. But see, I don't have an agenda to get rich. I don't have an agenda to be the biggest church. I don't have an agenda to be popular. I have friends I went to school with that became popular that get in the Baptist Voice or the Sword of the Lord and the Revival Fires magazine or newspaper. I'm not interested. If they put me in there, fine. But if they don't, they're not hurting my feelings. That's up to the Lord. The elect seek to imitate the things of God. Where Paul says here, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. That word followers is imitator. Imitator. The mimic is the Greek word. The elect seek to imitate the things of God. We're following. And so, you know, I've run out of time and I've just finished point one. So I think we're going to be back here again, maybe, good Lord willing, next Sunday. If not, I'll try to get notes to Philip to put in the thing. And he can preach the rest of the sermon from my notes under the webpage. But maybe we'll be back here again. But the elect seek to imitate to be followers after Christ, to imitate those who follow Jesus, and that especially to want to follow, to be just like Jesus if we can. You know, it's funny, it struck me in my study as we close, we have whole movies around, there's a couple movies that were made that had this funny thing, but how many people want to imitate Elvis? Still to this very day. We want to imitate what we admire the most, what we like the most, what we think will make us the most happy or the most cool or the most popular. We want to follow that, and so a lot of people try to look like Elvis and talk like Elvis. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And they'll get it all down. Some of these guys even look like Elvis. But I'd rather be like Jesus than Elvis. Elvis died alone, sick in a bathroom on a toilet. Hooked on drugs to wake him up in the morning and hooked on drugs to put him to sleep at night. And a lot of bad memories, a lot of loneliness, a lot of terrible, terrible nightmares. I'd rather be like Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray you bless the message to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, if Elvis is with you, we know that when he was a boy that he attended a gospel preaching church. We know that he had the testimony that he lived his life for you early on, and he gave his heart to you. And Lord Jesus, help us to be reminded that if Elvis is one of your own, that he is safe in heaven. But whenever we turn away from your ways, we make a lot of hell for ourselves in this world, even as your children. Lord, we thank you that he had the testimony of after a concert, after he had worked so hard at a concert, for the next hour and a half backstage, he would sit at the piano and play the old gospel hymns and sing with his group, and everyone that came to visit with him would be singing gospel hymns for the next hour and a half or so. Lord, we do pray that if he's there, that Lord Jesus, you would use him as an example in our lives to set our hopes and our attention on you and not on the world and its personalities, not on the fastest race car driver, the best athletes, not to the one who wins the most gold medals or has the most popular album at the time, but for the one who made all things out of nothing and yet loved us so much, he poured himself out for us. Help us to be a true blessing indeed, and to be more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.